You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We are back sitting in a shadowy corner of Ohio Stadium. A bird is chirping. It might be a bat. Do bats chirp? No, right?
No, they fight crime in Gotham.
Yeah. So it's a little dark in here, but the spring game is over. Doug LaMaurice, Tim Bielik, Bill Landis, your Ohio State coverage team. This is our spring game podcast. It just ended. The Gray won 63-11 or something. I don't know. All the quarterbacks played for all the teams. DeMario McCall had 300 yards receiving for both teams. So the score doesn't matter, but lots of other things matter. We put out a call for questions. We have some questions from you guys, and that's what we're mostly going to do on this post-game podcast. But before we do that, get subscribed to Buckeye Talk. Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, iTunes. Get subscribed so you don't miss stuff. Spring football is over, but we are not done doing podcasts. So we're going to continue through the spring, through the summer. Don't leave us. Tell your friends. Get subscribed. Bill Landis, let's start with a question.
Question is from Kenny Stabler, loyal listener. Was Thayer Munford playing left tackle a trial run, or is this what it's going to be like in the fall?
Your answer?
I don't know. I was just saying this before we started recording. Like, there's a lot going on, and it was moving fast, so I didn't really notice who was at the first team offensive line because I didn't think there'd be anything weird going on because starters are out. I think we know who's in spots. And then Ari says, like, why is Thayer Munford playing left tackle? And I thought to myself, well, it must be because Isaiah Prince is not playing. And he's like, no, Isaiah Prince is at right tackle. So I was shocked by that Isaiah Prince was in the right tackle spot, that he's played the last 2 years. Thayer Munford was a left tackle. It didn't sound like a trial run, although I don't remember seeing them flip-flopped in this game. Urban Meyer said they have moved them back and forth throughout the spring, but unless you guys saw different, I did not see any offensive snaps in the spring game where Isaiah Prince was playing left tackle and Thayer Munford was playing right tackle. It looked like Thayer Munford, for the time that he was out there, was at left tackle the entire time. So that feels like a little more to me than just a trial run. I don't know why they would like it, and it's strange to me that we entered the spring thinking Isaiah Prince is going to be a left tackle. Isaiah Prince entered the spring thinking he was going to be a left tackle. Now all of a sudden he's not. So that was weird. So I am of the mind that at the moment it's not a trial run. I think it's possible, somewhat likely, that we go into the fall and Thayer Munford, true sophomore, who's never really done anything meaningful, is your starting left tackle.
Tim, you were assigned to watch the offense. I watched the quarterbacks. Bill watched the defense, just because we split things up, right? No, Thayer Munford didn't play any right tackle, and Prince didn't play any left tackle, right?
That's my memory. No, he did not. It was straight Munford at left, Prince at right, which, again, is the flip-flop of what we've seen. And for the most, Munford had a lot of assignment against Chase Young, and as we kind of expected and alluded to in the video, Young was unblockable. I mean, Munford did not look good against him, but nobody looked good against Chase Young. I mean, it's...
It did not go well. It did not go well for Thayer Munford trying to block Chase Young.
Oh, and honestly, I think coming away from Urban, part of me wants to believe this was a trial run. You know, get him an opportunity, you know, throw him into the fire, make him go up against Chase Young in the most difficult position, see how he does. You know, because, I mean, how many guys is he going to go up against in this season that are better pass rushers than Chase Young and Nick Bosa? Probably very few, if any.
Yeah, no, it's not a trial run. You don't play a guy at left tackle in the spring game just to see what's up. Only two things could be possible here. One is Thayer Munford's a left tackle. And sometime during spring, I talked to Isaiah Prince at length on the day we talked to offensive linemen, whatever day that was. might have been maybe 6 or 7 practices in the spring. Mm-hmm. And we talked a lot. I didn't write the story, but I was going to write it next week about, like, this is what he's been waiting for. This is a big deal to Isaiah Prince to be the left tackle. He was the starting right tackle the past 2 years. This was his deal. So they have decided that Thayer Munford is better at left tackle than Isaiah Prince is, and this is what they're doing. And on some level, that's no surprise, because every time a coach or player says anything at Ohio State football, half of what they say is Thayer Munford is awesome. It's like, who's going to win the starting quarterback job? By the way, Thayer Munford is awesome. Hey, Chase Young's a really good pass rusher. By the way, Thayer Munford is awesome. And Chase Young did smoke him a couple times today. I think the only thing that it could be is some kind of motivational ploy for Isaiah Prince, that they're trying to light a fire under him, that they actually want him to be the left tackle, and they almost said, you know what, you're not doing well enough, so guess what, you're not the left tackle today. But I don't think that's what it is. Brian Browning, what's his name?
Baron Browning.
I couldn't think of his name again. Bryant Browning. Baron Browning didn't play safety today. Paris Campbell didn't play running back.
Yep.
Brady Taylor didn't play receiver. This is not, let's play guys at different positions day. This is put you on the stage to see if you can do this in the fall. And Thayer Munford's a left tackle. Now, the only assistant coach we have not talked to all spring is Greg Studrawa, the offensive line coach. Now, I really wish we had talked to him. We're supposed to talk to the assistant coaches on Tuesday. This is the number one question. But Urban Meyer kind of did answer it in a weird way. But I mean, we don't think that they're, like, alternating back and forth every day, right? I mean,
I can't imagine. Like, continuity matters. Why would you do that? Like, it's because it's not – if you just had nobody, then I suppose that makes sense because you're just rolling guys through. But they have a 3-year starter at tackle in Isaiah Prince, so I don't know why you would do that.
So I think this to me, just has to be that at some point this spring – Greg Studrawa decided that it's better for Ohio State's chances of winning for Thayer Munford to play left tackle and Isaiah Prince to play right tackle. And if Thayer Munford maybe is a little more athletic, maybe is a little more, maybe he has better feet, maybe he's able to slide and block pass rushers better, maybe that's just a decision they made. And again, nobody on this team has been praised more than Thayer Munford since the end of the regular season last year. From the time of bowl practice through spring practice, nobody gets people excited like Thayer Munford. So the fact that Thayer Munford now may be playing one of the 5 most important positions on this team, that fits with the way people talk about him.
Yeah, and I would even say it started before that. I remember last fall when it was like, oh, Thayer Munford's on the 2-deep, that they were talking a little bit about that. So it's not surprising that he would position himself in this way. I'm just a little blindsided by the idea that Isaiah Prince is not the left tackle. Like, I don't think it's – we've talked before about true freshmen starting on the offensive line and how much of a disaster that could be. And Thayer Munford's not a true freshman, but he's a true sophomore who's never played before. Remember when Isaiah Prince was a true sophomore who never played before and then he had to start? He was not that good. So that's on the table, I suppose. But I'm mostly just surprised that Isaiah Prince is no longer the left tackle.
Yeah, you might be blindsided, but they don't want the quarterback to get blindsided. That's true. Which is why that's a blindside thing. Are there – how many other – we got, I don't know, a handful of questions. How many of them are about Thayer Munford?
I think we got 2 specifically about Thayer Munford. There's one from Kenny Stabler that we asked. Here is one from Dave Grothaus that said, how do you see the Prince-Munford left tackle, right tackle battle playing out? Which I get, we think he's going to be left tackle. I think he's going to be left tackle. Munford, you think Munford's going to be left tackle. Tim, what do you think?
I mean, it's hard to argue with what you see on the field. And part of, you know, Munford's struggles against Young could be the fact that maybe he's been at the right most of the spring, and that sending him over the left side, it's obviously a completely different role versus right tackle, because left is so much more reliant on pass protection. You have to protect the quarterback's blind side, and you're responsible. You have to be quick. You have to be just a lot different responsibilities than right tackle. So, I mean, it would be an adjustment, but based on how they talk about him, certainly not out of the realm of possibility.
Did you have a Thayer Munford question, too?
Mine's more generic, just on the offensive line.
All right, let's go that way, then.
Okay,
this is from Kyle A. at Kyle_OSU. How confident in the O-line are you after watching the spring game? He points to center snapping, line blocking, depth, etc. Well, I'll start with center staff being no footballs on the ground. So obviously they made an improvement over the start of spring. Urban Meyer basically said Brady Taylor is the starting center, which we kind of expected to happen. He also praised Josh Myers for having a good spring as well. Depth on the offensive. He also praised the depth on the offensive line. He feels like they're pretty comfortable with their two deep right now. And one thing to remember also, Michael Jordan didn't play. You know, he was out for the entire spring, so they moved Malcolm Pridgen to left guard to start. You got experience with Demetrius Knox and at right guard. So you're going to have three returning starters in Prince, Jordan, and Knox. And then you have a center, Brady Taylor, who's bided his time, looked good today, you know, sliding in that fourth spot, and potentially Munford, either left or right tackle, who showed some promise, especially in that Michigan game, you know, sliding in at one of that fifth spot.
Yeah, I think they actually have three guards that they feel pretty good about, which has not been the case here for a long time. Knox, as Tim mentioned, started today, and Pridgen started today, and it feels like he's coming on a little bit, but I'm not even talking about him. It's Michael Jordan, Demetrius Knox, and Brandon Bowen, who didn't play today, and Urban Meyer said that Brandon Bowen's another guy that they expect to quote, play in the fall. The problem is, like, where? So it's a good problem to have three guards, and you have to pick two of them. And Jordan has a starting job, so it's just a matter of who starts at right guard, either Knox or Brandon Bowen. But the depth is finally where they want it, and it's funny because, like, the reason Urban Meyer was concerned about the depth is the guys we're talking about. It's just that they finally turned the corner, I think, and got a little better. Knox and Bowen and Pridgen being among the guys we're talking about.
Yeah, Pridgen's a guy that Urban Meyer mentioned the other day.
Yeah.
Obviously, Michael Jordan's going to start. I thought it was big that Pridgen was the starting left guard today. On Mike Weber's 63-yard run, Malcolm Pridgen took Jaron Cage and shoved him 4 yards sideways. Now, Jaron Cage is probably 8th on the defensive tackle depth chart, but Malcolm Pridgen did his job there. Yeah. Malcolm Pridgen has been a guy who, when he came here as a junior college transfer, people thought he might get into a fight for a starting job right away. He came in part because of these problems with depth on the offensive line, like, hey, we better get this JC guy in here, and we thought this guy might come in and fight for a job. Then he got hurt his first year. I think that's big. Urban Meyer loves Brandon Bowen. He keeps talking about Brandon Bowen again. He broke his leg last year. Brandon Bowen won a starting job. He's a tackle who won a starting guard job last year. So there's reason for them to love Brandon Bowen. I think they're in good shape at the guard spot. I think Brady Taylor, like, winning the center job, and Urban Meyer said, Brady Taylor's our center. Now, he's the center going into fall, but I certainly was open to the idea of that Brady Taylor's going to get beat out. We talked or wrote, or I don't know. We do so many things. We are multimedia marvels. We talk on video, and we write. That's three different things where we express the same opinion constantly and beat people over the head with it. And one of the things we beat them over the head with was, listen, he's a fifth-year starter. If Josh Myers is in that fight, we like Josh Myers' chances because that's a borderline five-star recruit young guy, while Brady Taylor is a guy who's been here for 4 years and hasn't gotten on the field. Urban Meyer, the first day of spring, flipped a quarterback question into a I'm worried about center. And on the last day of spring, he said Brady Taylor's our starting center and he had a good spring. That is a productive 15 practices for Brady Taylor, and that's really important. As long as he's not blowing smoke, as long as they really believe that and Brady Taylor is really showing that, and there's no reason to think that that's not true, I feel like that is a very big deal for Ohio State.
Yeah, he played a lot. And I'm trying to remember, like, did Matthew Burrell take any center snaps today?
I saw him
at a left tackle. Like, just the idea that, like, they weren't trying stuff. Like, they weren't, let's give Matt Burrell 15 snaps at center because we're not quite sure about this position yet. Or let's give Matthew Jones, an early enrolled freshman, a lot of time at center because we don't quite know what we have. It was like Brady Taylor played, and he played a lot, and he played well. So, like, Urban says it's his into the fall. Like, it's his, barring some kind of major fall off or injury. The starting center job is Brady Taylor's, and I would feel pretty good about it.
I want to make one more point that I wanted to make about Isaiah Prince that I didn't earlier. I saw this last night on Friday night, and I ignored it because it just didn't seem right to me. But Demetrius Knox had an Instagram photo that said, like, right side of the line, locking it down or something. And it was a picture of him and Isaiah Prince. Hmm. And I was like, that's weird. Why would he have that? Isaiah Prince is the left tackle. When Demetrius Knox, the right guard, is tweeting, like, here we are, the right side of the line, me and Isaiah Prince, that's not an experiment. That's that's who the right side of the line is. That's who they think the right side of the line is going to be. So I just wanted to say that because it makes me sound young when I know what's up on Instagram, even though I don't have an Instagram because I don't know what to do with it. What do you do with your Instagram?
Post photos of my dog.
I have Instagram. I don't take photos. But I think what you're supposed to do with it, at least what you were supposed to do, is take pictures of your food before you eat it. You're supposed to use, like, all sorts of stylized filters to, like, make a bowl of, like, microwave pasta look like it's from Olive Garden or something.
Are you microwave pasta is from Olive Garden.
Are you, why you gotta do that? You're just gonna take, like, a backhanded swipe at Olive Garden to end the spring out of nowhere?
Yeah.
This sounds like a topic for a Wednesday podcast. We could go an hour into this.
I also thought Instagram was to get the ladies. Is that what Instagram is for or not really?
Yeah, it's just photo sharing. It's like you post photos of Facebook, but like leave like your political beliefs out of it. That's what Instagram is.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't want to do that. Okay. all right. So offensive line, we talked about quarterback. I mean, I wrote a big thing about the quarterback. We did a video about the quarterback. People want to hear us talk about the quarterback, so let's transition to quarterbacks. Then we'll go through the rest of the offense, then deal with the defense and take more questions. Here's a point I want to make as our segue from offensive line to quarterback. I think Dwayne Haskins is the quarterback. I think Dwayne Haskins made multiple throws on Saturday that prove why Urban Meyer has to make him the quarterback. His upside is too great. I feel like if Dwayne Haskins is a quarterback, it makes it that much more important for the offensive line to be really good. I think Dwayne Haskins in a clean pocket is a national championship caliber quarterback. I think Dwayne Haskins running for his life is a different situation. He's not – now, Braxton Miller wasn't a great scrambler. Braxton Miller was better as a runner on called runs. But Braxton Miller could get out of trouble. JT Barrett could get out of trouble. I think Tate Martell could get out of trouble. I think Tate Martell invites trouble because when the trouble comes, Tate wants to run, baby. I think Joe Burrow – looks to me more comfortable. He looked more comfortable Saturday just a little bit in here comes a little pressure. And it wasn't real pressure because, like, Chase Young might have had 6 sacks on Saturday if they let him hit people. But all those guys could sit back there knowing Chase Young can't hurt me. He's not allowed to hurt me. And that changes your thinking a little bit. But I just feel like Joe Burrow can slide a little bit more in the pocket. I don't know what would happen if Dwayne Haskins in the Penn State game has guys in his face all day, if every throw he has to make is a throw under duress, is a throw where he has to get rid of it a little bit sooner than he wants to, is a throw where he's got to feel something and move. Now, I don't know that he can't do it, but I don't know. JT Barrett fixed a lot of problems in that way. So I just feel like when you have – it's just the same thing you would say about any pocket passer. Dwayne Haskins is a good athlete. We're not going to pretend he's not a good athlete. But he's just a little different, and that's why everybody's excited about him. But with that big arm, with that throwing potential, comes a little bit more of a little lack of mobility, I feel like, compared to what we're used to at Ohio State. And if Thayer Munford and Isaiah Prince aren't holding down the tackle spots, I feel like it's going to be more of an issue. If you give Dwayne Haskins a clean pocket for a couple of seconds, I think he might pick the Big Ten apart. Do you agree or disagree?
I agree with that. I said after the game we were all in agreement that Haskins will be the guy in the fall.
Did you change to Joe Burrow, like, in the elevator ride down?
No, but, like, I wrote a story about Joe Burrow after the game about, like, Joe Burrow has proved to me that he can start here and he can start anywhere. I don't know if he's going to, because that may be, like, that being true and Dwayne Haskins being better than him can also be true. But as I was writing the story and, like, listening to what Urban Meyer said about Joe Burrow, I was, like, starting to convince myself again that he could be the guy in the fall. Because he is a much improved quarterback over the last 3 years. I think he's always had – Urban Meyer was asked about intangibles, which is just like a thing you say about a guy who's not as athletic as the other guys. But Joe Burrow has those things. I think he has the leadership. I think he has like the – I don't know what the word is. I don't want to say moxie because that's what you say about white quarterbacks. But he has that, and Urban Meyer likes that, and I think he trusts that. It's the same thing that JT Barrett had. Like, you know that Joe Burrow is going to do the right thing. But on top of that, Joe Burrow has also improved very much as a passer. And I think, like, it was funny to me that the last throw of the game, even though the game was technically over, was Joe Burrow just tossing a 50-yard touchdown pass to DeMario McCall on a great throw down the right sideline, very accurate, in a bucket. It was a perfect throw. And it was like, oh, yeah, Joe Burrow can also throw the ball perfectly fine for this offense and probably better than JT Barrett. So I don't know what I think anymore. I agree with everything you said. Haskins with a clean pocket, Haskins with time to throw, has more upside than the other three guys. That's a fact by this point. But Joe Burrow checks a lot of boxes, man. And I just don't, like, I don't know. You have to be willing to lose something, and it's just a matter of, like, what are you willing to lose? The guy with a crazy arm that you've never had before, and that's, I'm not trying to minimize that, or the guy that, like, quite literally checks all the boxes you want for a quarterback.
I would like to note that as you reach the end of that monologue about Joe Burrow, you begin to stare wistfully off into the distance. And I also would like to give you a props for the moxie you showed by wearing a shirt with palm trees on it to the spring game. Yeah. Tim Bielik, we have seen over the course of the Buckeye Talk podcast that there have been times when you have persuaded Bill Landis with your monologues about things. Did Bill Landis just talk you into Joe Burrow, even though 45 minutes ago the three of us came out of the press conference, stood on the field, and did a video where we all declared Dwayne Haskins the quarterback for the fall? Did Bill Landis just change your mind?
No. But what Bill did was he offered me an interesting comparison for Joe Burrow. Think JT Barrett, but a much better arm. That's Joe Burrow. He's got similar mobility, which he didn't get a chance to show today other than the pass that he threw and caught to him. I can't remember if it was off his own lineman or a defensive lineman, but it was off somebody. He caught himself, ran for like 8 yards. No, 3 yards, actually. But he's got that athletic ability. And, again, he showed it multiple times in the fourth quarter. Two long TDs and Mario McCall. He's got an arm, average 10.8 yards per attempt. Compared to JT Barrett, it's probably 7.8. 10.8 is not going to happen probably in the confines of this office for Joe Burrow. But if he's your number one guy, I think he showed that you can do just fine with Joe Burrow. At the minimum, you should expect to do the things that Ohio State has done in the past. That said, I know Dwayne Haskins completed less than 50% of his passes, but the ones he did were dimes. And at the end of the day, I think you need a quarterback who has a high ceiling to win a national championship. I look back at the last two quarterbacks to win national titles. Deshaun Watson, high ceiling guy. Threw a lot of picks in 2016, but high ceiling, was a number 12 pick. Would have been rookie of the year before he tore his ACL. And then last year, Tua Tagovailoa, number one dual threat quarterback in the country, played one half of football, showed an unbelievable ceiling that he has potential for a top five pick. Am I saying Dwayne Haskins is top five pick material?
Yes, you are.
well, find me a crystal ball and I'll tell you the answer to that, and then I'll also give you some lottery numbers for the next couple weeks. But
7, 11, 17, 24, 36, 39.
Throw 18 in there while we're at it. But you see the ceiling is there. It's not there arm-wise with Burrow. It's not there with Martell. Haskins has the NFL arm. He showed it. And that's why I think ultimately, you know, different playing style aside, he's not that dual threat guy, although he can run. You made the reference a few weeks ago, Bill, in NCAA football, too, when they have the quarterbacks listed, pocket passer, balance, scrambler. Burrow and Martell are more scramblers. Haskins is balance. That's what I think. Oh, all that stuff aside, Haskins is the guy, I think.
I think I actually said Burrow was balance. Haskins was a pocket passer and Martell was a scrambler.
But what are they in Fortnite?
I don't know.
Okay.
There's only one player type in Fortnite. And by the way, I finally got a winner Fortnite recently.
Okay. Nobody cares about that.
I know.
Here's two things I want to say about Joe Burrow. And then I want to say one thing about Dwayne Haskins. One is, we've been comparing Joe Burrow and JT Barrett for years. I think it's a good comparison. I will say, can Joe Burrow run the ball for a first down on 3rd and 3? I do not think, like, I think JT Barrett was really good at that. JT Barrett had powerful legs and a nose to get the yards he needed to get. Joe Burrow, I think, is a confident runner, and he's a good runner, and he's better than Dwayne Haskins. I don't think he's quite JT. Like, if Urban is leaning on, like, old familiar things, that's a big part of JT, that, like, when the game's on the line, you think that guy's going to get the yards you need. I don't have that quite that same feeling about Joe Burrow. I do think Joe Burrow might be a better thrower than JT Barrett. Everybody in my timeline on Twitter after the game, when we were talking about any of this, when I tweeted a couple things about it, everybody's like, we have seen this story before. Like, the good, solid quarterback who can run, who can throw, but, like, we've seen it for 4 years, and it didn't get Ohio State a national championship with that guy running the show. I understand why fans think that. I think there's a lot of us that thinks that. But, like, do you think that Urban Meyer feels any of that? And let me couple that with my Dwayne Haskins point. How can you watch that guy make some of those throws he makes and turn your back on him?
Yeah.
And it's, I think, wistful Bill Landis in his palm tree shirt staring off into the distance, pining for Joe Burrow and having a little bit of a tear in his eye thinking about Joe Burrow leaving. Like, if here's what I think would happen. If Urban Meyer picked Dwayne Haskins and Joe Burrow left, I think everybody in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center would wistfully look off in the distance with a tear in the side of their eye and watch Joe Burrow leave and be really sad about it. If he picked Joe Burrow and Dwayne Haskins left, I think people would be throwing their bodies in front of Dwayne Haskins' car saying, what are we doing? Don't let him leave. What are you doing? You're crazy. Wait, no. Like, how can you let him leave without ever being your starting quarterback? Part of this decision is it's almost a backwards decision to me. It's not saying yes to any of them, but it's how can you say no to Dwayne Haskins?
Yeah, no, I think there's merit to that, because I do think, and we always go back to this point, it's like, why did you recruit him then if you had no intention of playing him? And clear, like, Dwayne Haskins' skill set is different than the typical skill set that Urban Meyer recruits a quarterback, but I think you do that because you want to take the offense in somewhat of a different direction. They won't say what the direction is. We've asked a million different ways, and they won't tell us. But there's a reason you go and get a kid with an NFL arm, and they've never shied away from saying that he has that kind of arm. So, no, I agree with that. I'm not trying to dispute the fact that Dwayne Haskins has much more upside than Joe Burrow. I'm just, like, leaving the door open for Urban Meyer taking what I think would be the safer route and picking Joe Burrow. I don't know how much I believe in the end he will do that, but I don't think it's cut and dry. And the gap that I had, when we talked on the field and we shot that video, the gap that I envisioned between the two was already small. And it just got a little smaller as I was writing that story and thinking about all the things that Joe Burrow can do here.
That's what she said.
Yep.
By the way, did you think it was a good day for Ohio State quarterbacks? I know Tate to me, one thing, and we did a whole Tate podcast last week, and we all upped the percentage of him being the quarterback.
Yeah.
He just doesn't throw it well enough. Right now, we know he can throw it, and we did all the stats with the Tate cast last week. We know he can throw it. Right now in his development, he just does not throw it like the other two guys. You just can't play him as your starting quarterback when the other two guys are here. However, Urban Meyer mentioned Tate Martell's athleticism in the news conference. He said something like, I noticed it as soon as he got here, and, like, I notice it even more now, which is code for I loved him then and I'm falling more in love with him every day, as we spoke before on this podcast. But I do think you're, like, he's in love with Tate Martell right now, but he can't marry Tate Martell yet.
Yeah.
But I did think, like, what did you think overall of the day that Ohio State as a football program has those three quarterbacks in the program?
You know, a pretty good day, especially when it comes to, you know, trying to make for Haskins and Burrow trying to make the decision a little tougher for Urban. Again, I mentioned Haskins' low completion percentage, but he threw some dandies. The touchdown pass to Jalen Harris, which you referenced directly in your story, was phenomenal. And I can also get to how Harris made that play great later on if we have time. But the fact that they made the decision difficult is a good thing for Ohio State. You want to have them make a tough decision because the two options are so good. And in Tate's case, I know he missed. He was 5 of 16, 28 yards. He threw that pick. He did have a couple drops, but the one thing that stood out to me is a promise. I counted 5 separate zone reads that I thought he executed beautifully. One of them was a Mike Weber 63-yard run. Another sprung a 30-yard run where he just made – I couldn't remember who it was. I think it was one of the walk-on offensive ends. He made him guess wrong, and he just burned him for a 30-yarder. And I wonder, in the case of Tate, how much it would have benefited him to go live, because he probably could have had even more than the 69 yards rushing he had.
Do we have any questions related to the quarterback competition? And I do want to ask one final quarterback competition question before we move on from quarterbacks and get to receivers. But what are the people asking? Any quarterback stuff?
Scott Duda says his money's on Burrow with Haskins the backup and a significant 15-ish plays for Tate running RPOs.
So per game? No way.
Yeah, that's a high number. And he says his money's on Burrow over Haskins. Let me find some other quarterback questions. Facade of Fate says, if Burrow wins, I think he's more likely to stay 2 years, even if he plays great this year. Haskins, I think, leaves after one. Would you rather have one amazing year of Haskins and he and Burrow be gone by next year, or two great seasons with Burrow?
Amazing. I thought that was an interesting question in terms of if you think that you would rather take two great seasons instead of one amazing season, you're crazy. But I thought it was an interesting question.
It's a good way to frame it, I think. But I agree with you. I'll because amazing to me means championship, right?
Yeah.
You need to throw to win a championship. Off topic, Facade of Fates is a great band name.
Yes, it is. As is Palm Tree Shirt.
I feel like you're hating on my shirt.
No, I love your shirt. I actually do love your shirt. Every shirt I own is some version of plaid. And so whenever I see someone wear a shirt that's not plaid, it throws me off a little bit, makes me a little jealous.
Palm Tree Shirt sounds like a country music band. Like they're going to be here for Country Music Fest in a few months or whatever.
Yeah. David McMahon asked the food question. He asked, which grocery rotisserie chicken do you like best? He says, Kroger, hands down for me. I agree. He said, after seeing all three quarterbacks today, do you think that was enough to name a starter? And he said, do you think Urban needs to name a starter now or wait until camp ends? Fall camp ends. So do we? I think we've talked about this before. We've all come around to the idea that he does not necessarily have to name a starter now. He can name the starter before the Oregon State game in September. But he says, after seeing the spring game today, do we think that there is enough information out there to name a starter?
If I was Urban Meyer right now, this is what I would... If I was being honest, and if I was like trying to do right by the players as well as do right by the team, and I think there's like an interesting thing. Maybe we've talked about it, but it's like, in the name of doing right by the team, you could like 40% screw with the head of a player. You know, like it's not that you'd lie to Joe Burrow to keep him here, but like you could make it a little like, you know, your first loyalty is to all 105 guys in that locker room, not just one guy. You don't want to lie to them, because lying to a player isn't just the wrong thing to do and isn't just unfair. It'll backfire on you down the line, because then other players won't trust you. But like, you could say, well, yeah, you know what I mean? Like keep guys strung along a little bit. But I think honestly in his heart, what I think he should say and should think is, Tate, I think you can be a really good quarterback in college football right now. You just need to come along a little bit as a thrower. We're going to find ways to get you on the field. Don't go anywhere. You have a bright future here. Joe and Dwayne, we think we could win a national championship with either of you two guys. But right now, Dwayne, you're a little bit ahead. Joe, you've done everything right. Dwayne, don't get lackadaisical. Don't think you've won this job. But right now, you would start opening day and you would be our quarterback. But I feel confident in both of you, and both you guys had a good spring. That's what I think he should think and what he should say if he's being honest for those guys.
Something we didn't talk about on Tuesday when we got into the Joe Burrow talk is an angle I literally just thought of. What if Joe Burrow is the one to make the decision and not Urban Meyer? And what I mean by that is, if Joe Burrow leaves, you have your starting quarterback, and it's Dwayne Haskins 100%.
Well, no, I know. But I mean, I think that's out there, absolutely. But I think Joe would make the decision, but it would depend on what Urban said.
Yeah.
If Urban said, Joe, you're winning. If the season started tomorrow, Joe Burrow, you would be our starting quarterback. And like, if he meant that, again, he could say that to get Joe Burrow to stay, and then like on the second day of camp in preseason, be like, oh, Dwayne passed Joe today. You know what I mean? And it's like it's too late for Joe to do anything. But what I think the way Urban talks to these guys, and he said he was going to meet with Kevin Wilson and Ryan Day after the game Saturday and then meet again with them on Monday. He was like, and then I'm going to give him like a whole like 36 hours off. Yeah. I mean, to also recruit, but also be – it was like be with your family for like a good 90 minutes. Recruit your butt off and then come back on Monday and decide the fate of Ohio State football. but what – like what do you – I do think Joe very well in the end may make the final decision for Urban, but the way Urban phrases things now will certainly contribute to the decision that Joe Burrow makes.
I agree with that, but I also think that, and I wrote this before the spring, and I think it's just it came full circle a little bit for me today. Like, Urban Meyer owes Joe Burrow an answer, and I asked Joe Burrow that whenever we talked to the quarterbacks. It was like the second week of spring practice. And Joe Burrow basically didn't answer the question. He said, like, you can ask Coach Meyer and Coach Day about that, which I didn't really know how to take. And then today I asked him, I said, do you need to be the starter to stay? And his answer was this. Sorry, I lost my place. He said, that will be a discussion in the meetings we have, and I'm not sure yet. I'm happy with how I played and happy with how the situation was handled this spring. And when I heard that, I thought to myself, well, maybe if that conversation that you just laid out where he's not named the starter but he's told he has a chance in the fall plays out, that maybe he would stay. But then I listened to the full interview with Joe Burrow, and it was like I was off to the side and I couldn't hear what he was being asked and what he was saying. He was asked the exact same question earlier, do you need to be the starter to stay? And he said, sorry, I lost my place again. I came here to play. I didn't come here to sit on the bench for 4 years. I know I'm a pretty darn good quarterback and I want to play somewhere.
God.
So
I'm staring wistfully off into the distance now. How do you not want that guy on this team? Sorry, Dwayne. No, I feel bad for making fun of your wistfulness earlier, because having heard those two quotes, my God, it gets you riled up.
Yeah.
You're literally wiping your eyes right now.
I'm crying. But that's just like that quote to me is Joe Burrow saying that if I don't know by the day I graduate that I'm the starter, I'm leaving. Which I think is, I'm more confident than ever that that's going to happen.
Are you going to his graduation?
Yeah, he gets like four tickets. Like, his mom and dad and me are going.
Nice.
I'm in a camp when it comes to Burrow, and I just try to think of the numbers myself. He's got a decision to make. If Urban Meyer tells him, you know, it's almost 50-50, Dwayne's got a slight lead, he's going to think, you know, I got about a 45% chance to be the starting quarterback, or I can go somewhere else where I'm 100% the starting quarterback at insert mid-level Power 5 school here. I'm 100% guaranteed to start the second I walk on that campus. Anybody would take that 100% chance, especially a guy in Burrow who wants to be the guy. And he proved today he can be that guy who can be a very good quarterback. You take 100% over 45 any day of the week, I'd say.
Depends. Well, it's one of those things. This is 100% where he wants to be, so it's 45% of 100% versus, and I don't think you can be 100% sure.
Yeah.
It's like 45% of 100% versus 90% of 80%.
He also said that leaving Ohio State would be devastating. And he meant it.
Out. God. You're going to make me cry before the end of this podcast.
So Doug's going to cry, and now my head hurts from trying to think all the math. And I'm a numbers guy. It shouldn't make my brain hurt.
I'm an artist at heart. I'm not really a numbers guy.
I'm a dancer.
Okay, I have two questions, one about Joe Burrow. We have to move on from this at some point because we can talk about this every week. Even though we're not going to be gaining any more information, we just gained we gained a lot of information today. But we have to talk about other things. If you were Ohio State, would you block Joe Burrow from transferring to a team in the Big Ten or on your schedule?
We talked about this before, and someone actually said that they can't because he's a graduate transfer, which I then didn't look up to figure out whether or not that was true. So I think it's possible that they're not able to because it's not like he is a sit one-year transfer and hasn't like fulfilled his academic requirement here. I actually don't know if they have any say whatsoever in what he does.
Okay, that's neat.
I think what they could allow him to do is give him his release to look at schools before he graduates. But I think, like, once he graduates, he's free to do what he wants, isn't he?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Well, I don't
should know. I don't know.
I don't know about those workings, but I do think it would come across as kind of petty if
teams do it all the time. Teams do it all the time.
Yeah, that's
Are you going to let Joe Burrow transfer to Indiana or Rutgers.
Yeah. Rutgers would take
Chris Ash. I think Chris Ash is on his way to Columbus right now. And beat you? If you can stop him. We'll find, again, as journalists, we occasionally actually try to gather information and provide that to you. We will attempt to do that. We think that he can go wherever he wants. Here's the other question I want to ask. Second and four from the 11-yard line, 17-17 tie against Penn State. Dwayne Haskins is your starting quarterback. Would you put Tate Martell in the game on second and four from the 11 of a 17-17 game midway through the third quarter against the Nittany Lions? Tate Martell in the Wild Tate.
Is it from your own 11?
No, it's not. It's from the area. It's you're driving in for a touchdown. You're not going to put him in and, yeah, have him run backwards into his own end zone to take a safety. No, on you're trying to score.
Based on what I saw the zone read, why not?
Yeah, I'm in.
Yeah, I'm in. I think they're going to be in. I think Dwayne Haskins is going to be really good. I think when you get in that spot and they're going to tee off on him and try to bring pressure, and he's going to have to stand in there knowing that, like, his legs are probably not going to make the play to score a touchdown there. Maybe in under duress, but I doubt it.
Yep.
He's going to have to make a throw against a good defense in a confined space in a shortened field and say that Ohio State's receivers have had a little trouble getting open. Man, you get in there. You run zone read with Tate there. I'll tell you what, that guy looked a little magical to me today in the zone read. We talked about how good JT was with it. I think that guy is going to be one of those, if and when he becomes a starting quarterback in major college football and a team that runs that offense, I think he's going to be one of those guys that two or three times a game, the camera goes to the wrong guy.
Yeah.
I did it today. I was watching, like, my eyes went to the wrong place, which I think has very rarely happened to me. I know why it happens to the camera all the time, but I did it with my head, and I was like, oh, I've never done that before, but Tate Martell made me do it.
We're talking about two coaches in Urban Meyer and Kevin Wilson. Correct me if I'm wrong, if Kevin Wilson wasn't at Oklahoma when they had the Belldozer, when they would have Landry Jones, the quarterback, Blake Bell in as your short yardage, 250-pound giant fullback running behind three blocking tight ends for a touchdown. And then Urban Meyer, of course, had Chris Leak, and then a certain guy named Tim Tebow, who had a pretty decent college football career. These are two guys who have, in the past, used running quarterbacks to supplement pocket passing type quarterbacks and had success. So who's to say they can't do that again?
I think it really could work, and I also think if you establish enough that Tate Martell occasionally is in the game as an H-back going out in a pattern, I think you could put Tate Martell and Dwayne Haskins on the field together in that situation, and Penn State wouldn't know what you're going to do. And you could start off with Tate Martell in the slot and Dwayne Haskins at quarterback, and motion Tate to quarterback and put Dwayne Haskins in the slot,
yep,
and then run zone read with Tate when you don't, or you could have Tate throw. I just think it might be something, and it's not to be fancy, it's to win. I think that could help them win, just because sometimes, especially as Dwayne Haskins is young, his arm is there. But if he's making, what's Penn State? Fourth game of the year? Fifth game of the year?
Fifth.
Yeah,
fifth start of his career in that situation, I think Tate Martell can help Ohio State win.
Yeah, I think in that scenario, I would rather have the one you described where you keep Dwayne. I don't think you want to take Dwayne Haskins off the field, because I think just that small gesture can kind of mess with the guy's head a little bit. But if you start him out and then move him out and then take, I think, yeah, it's like all gadget stuff, and it's not, you're right, it's not to be fancy, and it's not to only appease Tate Martell. It is to give yourself a competitive advantage, which they will have if they use Tate Martell in that way.
All right, let's move to the defense quickly. We're going a little longer, shocker, than we expected. Bill Landis, is Chase Young a monster?
Yeah, I'm scared of him. I'm going to have
nice and friendly. Don't be scared. Only be scared if you're blocking him.
He's a giant, too. He's huge. He was awesome, and to be expected, I guess. We didn't see a ton of Nick Bosa, which was also expected. But I thought Chase Young was the best player on the defense, and it wasn't close. Couldn't block him. Like you said, he would have had six sacks if he could hit the quarterback. A couple of throws were made where Chase Young just, like, had his hand resting on the quarterback's shoulder, like, hey, I'm here, just so you know. So he was great. I thought Baron Browning looked pretty good in stretches. He had one drive where he kind of came in unblocked and deflected a pass. And then on one of those kind of shifty read options with Tate Martell and Master Teague, some guys looked a little bit lost, but Baron Browning had it lined up pretty good and ended up stopping Master Teague for a one-yard loss. I was hoping to be more impressed with the safety position, and I really wasn't. Outside of Jordan Fuller, he was fine, but and it was good, I think, to hear Urban Meyer say that after the game, that he said that the safety position opposite Jordan Fuller is like the position he's most concerned about at the moment. It shifted from center to safety, which fell in line with what I saw. But just wasn't in a game where they were throwing the ball around a lot and there were opportunities to make some plays, that safety position did not really flash in any regard. And there's a lot, I think, to be done at linebacker, too. I think that's kind of wide open, a lot of shuffling pieces there. The defensive line was good. Ends were good. Tackles were deep. I thought Tommy Togiai looked pretty good in stretches, too. So I would feel really good about the defensive line. But the back seven of the defense, I think there's good depth at linebacker, and I think there's good depth at corner, and Jordan Fuller's good. But I don't know what you feel, like, awesome about at the moment with both those position groups.
I want to check in on the defensive line real quick. Urban Meyer, I would think his most effusive praise in postgame for any individual player was for Draymond Jones and the spring he has. What did you think of what Urban had to say about Draymond Jones, Tim?
You know, it's pretty significant. He talked about how Draymond really came along in a situation where people thought he was going to leave. I think I'm trying to remember how we predicted as far as...
I think we all predicted he'd go to the NFL draft.
And then he announces, I think on the same day that, you know, Johnny Dixon and Paris Campbell both announced they were staying. It kind of surprised us a little bit, and then he comes out and Urban Meyer praised him, and having Draymond Jones, who's even better than he was last season, is nothing but a bonus for a defensive line where you already have bookends in Nick Bosa and Chase Young. Having a third potential stud in there in Draymond Jones, I mean, the potential there for that defense is just sky high if you have that.
It's a Draymond Jones profiles as a potential first-round pick. I think it says a lot that he – and Urban Meyer talked about this, that sometimes guys, they don't go to the league and their heads – like your body's in college, but your head's in the NFL. And with the way Urban Meyer talked about what Draymond Jones looked like this spring, that did not occur. Draymond Jones is all in on being back here. And as much as we've talked about Nick Bosa and Chase Young as potential top five picks in the NFL draft when it's their turn, I think Draymond Jones is a top half of the first round kind of guy if he maxes out on what he can be. And he got hurt last year. He kind of had a weird year. I think if he had had a tremendous healthy year, he would have been gone. He kind of had a weird year. Nick Bosa has been talking him up from the get-go. Just thinking about that defensive line, again, this is why this is a national championship contender as a team, because they have guys like that. But as good as their defensive line was last year, I think those three guys, Jalen Holmes, Tyquan Lewis, and Sam Hubbard are all going to be drafted, and they're all going to be drafted high. Sam Hubbard might go in the first round. Jalen Holmes and Tyquan Lewis are going to go in the first four rounds probably. We're talking about three guys in this defensive line who might be like all top 15 picks. This defensive line is going to be better than it was last year, as good as it was last year, and I think it might be significantly better. I think it might be the kind of like the other offense can't do anything. Now, the caveat in that is everybody gets the ball out quick against Ohio State, and the easiest thing you can do, kind of all the premium positions, the easiest one to negate is defensive end in college. Yeah. Because with the spread offenses and the RPOs, and you get rid of the ball and you run wide and you do things and you just don't let defensive linemen do anything to you. But that in itself is changing the game. But if Michigan's good and Shea Patterson is good, and Shea Patterson is looking like one of the best quarterbacks in the country, Chase Young and Nick Bosa and Draymond Jones can win you the Michigan game. And yeah, winning the Michigan game, that if Shea Patterson plays and Michigan maxes out, that could be a play-in game for the playoff. And those guys might win you that game. That's what we're talking about with this defensive line. I want to move to linebackers. I want to go through some of this stuff quickly. Bill, again, I watched quarterbacks all day. I literally don't know what a single defensive player did the whole day. Tim watched offense. He focused on that. Bill focused on defense. My main question is, did Baron Browning, and you said he was good, did he look like a guy who has to play in the fall?
Yeah, he just like he moves in that way. Like he's kind of all over the place. And I get why they're high on Justin Hilliard. I think Justin Hilliard is like very mature. He's been here a long time. I think he has a lot of like natural leadership qualities about him, and certainly you want that at middle linebacker. And he, on top of that, he's a 5-star prospect as well, former 5-star prospect. Baron Browning, in my eyes, is just another level of athlete. Like he has to be on the field. I don't know if that means he has to play middle linebacker. Maybe he can play outside. I think he's too big at this point to play safety, but he played defensive back in high school too. He was all over the place. He reminds me like another level of like Malik Harrison. Remember Malik Harrison was a true freshman. He was just such a good athlete that he had to get on the field. They ended up not redshirting him. This is a notch up from that. So Baron Browning has to play, and I think just like naturally the way things shake out with the depth chart, it's at middle linebacker. I don't know what that would mean for Justin Hilliard, and I don't think that battle's over. It's just that if you watch those two guys play, Browning has more upside.
Did Keandre Jones play much today?
Yeah, he was the starting Malik Harrison and Keandre Jones were the starting outside linebackers with the first team defense. Justin Hilliard was the starting middle linebacker. But yeah, he played. But I thought of the outside linebackers, like the guy who flashed to me the most, I thought was Pete Werner. I don't know how much he actually factors into it. Urban Meyer loves him. He talks about him all the time. But he was flying around a little bit, making some plays. Now he was on for a time. He was on the Scarlet defense. No, he was on the gray defense, which was the second team defense against the first team offense. So we had, I think, more opportunities to make plays maybe than Keandre Jones and Malik Harrison did. But I thought that the two linebackers who jumped out to me the most were Baron Browning and Pete Werner.
Urban Meyer reiterated today that they're going to rotate three guys at corner: Sheffield, Arnett, Okuda. Okuda's out this spring. We saw Sean Wade out there. He definitely looks like the fourth corner. He had the only interception of the game of Tate Martell. Yeah. I'm very curious if Sean Wade can push himself into a situation to get on the field where they end up maybe rotating that both corner spots are just rotations, that you're not rotating three guys through two spots, you're rotating four guys through two spots. But Urban Meyer talked about a three-man rotation. We know Jordan Fuller's good. We know Jordan Fuller. I think Greg Schiano at the coaching clinic the other day said Jordan Fuller's going to be an All-American. As I thought it was interesting, the way that we know that Brady Taylor had a good spring is what you talked about, Bill. On the offensive side of the ball, the number one question other than quarterback was center. Urban Meyer's talking about that like he's confident. The number one question on the defensive side of the ball is this opposite safety position, and he's talking about that position with zero confidence at this point. He said, we don't know who it is, and he didn't mention a guy. He didn't name anybody by name in the postgame news conference. He's mentioned other guys before. Tim, you've been sort of the guy who's written about that a lot. After watching today and after hearing Urban Meyer talk about that safety position the way he did, what is your guess about who the guy is going to be there?
My guess all along has been Isaiah Pryor. He was probably the number one contender for that spot. I know he led Scarlet with four solo stops. They were the number one defense, the Scarlet defense. So he got started four solo stops again. I felt like, as much as I liked Isaiah Pryor, for some reason in practice, my eyes just kept going to Brendan White. And I think White did play a little bit, didn't really have much of an impact out there. But, again, like you said, the fact that he didn't name him but anybody means that this is going to be a question hanging out there for the next 3.5 months until they get back in practice, till they really start to figure out, see what kind of leaps guys make in the summer. Because this is that challenge right now that we talk about with Urban pushing. The fact that he didn't throw anybody out there, and I think that was purposeful, because there's guys out there like Pryor, like Brendan White, like Amir Reap, who got in there a little bit and did some stuff. There's guys out there fighting for that second spot, but makes it sound like nobody's really, you know, stepped up and claimed it.
Amir Reap made a couple. I turned to Tim at one point in the second quarter. I was like, oh man, Amir Reap can really hit. Like when they finally started tackling each other, I thought Amir Reap had a couple nice tackles.
I'm going to throw out two things. One, I just thought of, and it's crazy. One of I legitimately believe in, although it would also be partially crazy. If they have three set locked-in corners, which they do, and they have a completely uncertain safety spot, and Sean Wade wants to play, can you tell Sean Wade, make yourself a safety this summer?
I think you probably have more success telling Jeff Okuda he's a safety, just based on body type.
If you have four, if they do believe in Sean Wade, and Sean Wade is a 5-star prospect who was hurt last year and has seemed to do well this spring, if you have one safety you're sure of, and you are at the point where you have four corners that you're sure of, should you investigate that? They have a summer to make it happen. Do you think that's a possibility?
Yeah, I do. I was thinking to myself, like, which of the corners makes the most sense? And Okuda, there was even talk, I think, when Okuda was recruited that maybe he could play safety in college. So, no, I don't think that'd be a crazy idea, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's something they would explore. They also have Josh Proctor coming in.
He's the other guy.
Yeah, they like him a lot. So he'll get a shot, but Okuda hasn't played much, so he has a year's worth of experience being a college player over Proctor, but it's not like Okuda has a whole season of real significant playing time under his belt. But I would give Okuda a look, I guess, before they go to giving a true freshman a look.
Sean Wade's a little skinny, right? Okuda's a little thicker, maybe.
Yeah.
But here's the thing: when you have a battle and nobody wins it, then my attention goes to guys who aren't in the battle. Josh Proctor's not in this battle, but Urban Meyer has mentioned him a couple times this spring. He's a highly recruited guy, and he gave Tim finger guns at the game today. Tim was have some random photos of recruits. You're not really supposed to take pictures of recruits, but like everybody kind of does it, no big deal. And Josh Proctor caught Tim taking his photo and gave him the kapow, and that to me is the confidence of a guy who thinks he can start as a true freshman. Tim, do you agree?
Well, you can't coach awareness, so sure, why not? Again, you know, Urban's gone out of his way to mention him not once but twice. Mentioned him, mentioned Marcus Hooker. You know, I did all the commitment roundup last season. Proctor was a guy who often stood out. You know, he would be standing out for his hitting. He would have like a 100-yard pick six. The guy's an athlete. I mean, he showed it for a really good season at his high school in Oklahoma. Really, really demonstrating why he was a highly ranked prospect. So if there's no room in there, maybe Proctor is watching there in the game thinking, man, maybe I got a shot at this.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. Isaiah Pryor was a really highly rated guy too, and he's here. And Isaiah Pryor very well might win it. But again, Urban Meyer is talking about that position like nobody won it this spring. So I think you start thinking about alternatives, and I think the corner room is a place to find an alternative, and a highly rated incoming freshman is a place to find an alternative. Any other questions that we should get to from the crowd?
Yeah, there was a question about Jalen Harris, who is a local Cleveland guy, had a good game today, so I think we should talk about him. Question was from Joe at Joe_Cavs. Could Jalen Harris this season be the deep threat wide receiver? Do you think he moves ahead of some of the average receivers on the depth chart? I thought he looked really good. Like, Terry McLaurin didn't really play. Johnny Dixon didn't really play. Austin Mack didn't really play. So, again, I think it's the thing that's always important to keep in mind with this game is that the younger guys get more opportunities, so they often look better than the older guys. But that said, I do think, and we talked about it before, Jalen Harris is, I think, a higher caliber athlete than a lot of the guys in that receiver room, maybe Paris Campbell aside, is a big-bodied guy that they don't really have outside of Ben Victor, who also I thought looked pretty good today. But I think there is opportunity for Jalen Harris to move up the depth chart, and I thought, and Tim, I think, alluded to this earlier, the touchdown pass that Dwayne Haskins threw to Jalen Harris, I thought like Jalen Harris ended up baiting the corner into thinking that that was going to be a short thrown ball, and then at the last second sort of adjusted and then caught, like, it was a well-thrown ball, like, out in front of the receiver, which is where you want to put it. But I thought he tricked the corner into thinking the ball was going to be somewhere else, and then that created the opening for Jalen Harris to catch a touchdown pass. It, like, seemed like a very kind of savvy move for a guy who didn't play last year to make in a spring game and, like, his first opportunity to do something.
Yes. He definitely got the assist on the touchdown. No credit taken away from Dwayne Haskins because he threw the ball in the money, but again, a veteran move that we really didn't see. It's almost like he has a little bit of the extra mind game going on, like using your head while you're out there. And when you have that athleticism that Jalen Harris has, we talk about, I mean, dude was a basketball player, big basketball player, athletic. Rashad Berry's kind of the same profile, although we didn't see Rashad Berry banged up at the end of spring, yeah. Got a stinger, so he didn't play today. That was a veteran move for a guy who hasn't played kind of pull that kind of move. I know it was against, you know, one of the backup corners and Marcus Williamson, but that move should catch, you know, Urban's attention. Like, maybe we should use that a little more.
Tight end side note, and then we'll get back to a final receiver question. We'll get out of here. Luke Farrell's a starting tight end. Rashad Berry was hurt, had a couple stingers. That's why I didn't play. That's what Urban Meyer said. Urban Meyer also said Luke Farrell is the starting tight end. And he didn't say it because Rashad Berry's hurt. He said it because Luke Farrell earned that job. That's another Northeast Ohio kid who, I think if you made a list of the guys who had the 10 best springs, and we didn't see it because we don't get to watch the way they talk about it, Luke Farrell must have had a great spring. Luke Farrell went from, like, not really in the mix. Now, there's opportunity there because Marcus Ball left. Jeremy Ruckert, an incoming freshman people seem to like, isn't here yet. But Luke Farrell took advantage of an opportunity that was there and at the moment made himself a starter for the Ohio State football team. Credit to Luke Farrell. Final receiver point, I'm going to make my observation and then I'm going to pin you two down because that's how we do it at Buckeye Talk. I have made the decision for Zach Smith that K.J. Hill is moving to outside receiver once and for all. Paris Campbell and DeMario McCall were the H-backs on Saturday because K.J. Hill has an injured shoulder and was out all spring. DeMario McCall needs to have a role in this offense. He's been a guy who has flashed in garbage time. He was hurt much of last year. He needs the ball. The most encouraging thing about the offense in terms of what they might do, they ran a million crossing routes, shallow crosses, with the H-backs. Hit them in stride and let them go. Get them lined up on a slot corner or a linebacker if a team's in base and let Paris Campbell and DeMario McCall exploit those matchups. I want to see 10 of those throws a game in the fall, but I want to see them to Paris Campbell and DeMario McCall, explosive game-breaking guys. We saw Paris Campbell do it last year. He needs to have more chances to do that. We need to see DeMario McCall get the chance to do that. That should be the H-back rotation. Like, that's it. K.J. Hill had 16 more catches than anybody else on this team last year, splitting H-back with Paris Campbell. K.J. Hill had 56 catches to lead this team. K.J. Hill is their most reliable receiver. K.J. Hill needs a role in this offense. K.J. Hill, for a first-time starting quarterback, is going to be a very valuable target. He has the best hands on the team. But he should play outside receiver. I think he needs to be in the regular rotation. He just needs to play outside. I'm sure he can do it. So, I'm just making that happen. He's not an H-back anymore. The decision's been made. If that's the case, and DeMario McCall and Paris Campbell are splitting H-back, here are your candidates at outside receiver. Johnny Dixon, Terry McLaurin, Austin Mack, Ben Victor, Jalen Harris, K.J. Hill. That's six guys, and we're not even including everyone's favorite, C.J. Saunders, the walk-on who is somehow going to get playing time in that group. He's not. We're not making fun of C.J. Saunders. We're just, like, talking about the people who think he's going to play. C.J. Saunders deserves a lot of credit for being, like, a 160-pound guy who's found his way into a guy who makes catches for this team, but usually won their way ahead. That's six outside guys in this world. Victor, Harris, Hill, Dixon, McLaurin, Mack. What do you do? How do you play those six guys in the fall if we go with the Dougie H-back rotation? What do you do with those six outside receivers?
I mean, I don't know if he can play six. Six for two spots?
You probably only play four. So who do you play?
Yeah, so that's an easy question. Okay. Hill, Mack, Dixon, and Harris.
You just said the exact same four I was thinking of. Like, 1, 2, 3, 4, you were right on the money with me.
I think that you can play six if you play, like, 40%, 40%, 20%.
Yeah.
Like, on the snap breakdown. They're like, here's a series. We're going to try to, like, see if we can get Terry McLaurin loose deep. I think Jalen Harris and Ben Victor might be, like, in a mano-a-mano battle for, like, the big guy who gets to play. Ben Victor made some catches on Saturday, but Urban Meyer went out of his way to explain, like, don't think Ben Victor's a star. Ben Victor was out there because he needs work, and he needs to be more consistent. I think that's possible. And I just think you've got to play K.J. Hill. K.J. Hill is going to be the guy who, like, makes the catch on 3rd and 7 to keep drives alive. You have to play K.J. Hill. I think you have to play Austin Mack because Austin Mack, I think, is the best combination of, like, game breaker slash consistent guy. Johnny Dixon is a wild card. He had a bunch of touchdowns last year. In the end, he didn't really have that many catches. He was partially hurt. I think he could be a wild card that maybe, like, he's not quite in the regular mix all the time anyway. And I think Victor and Harris, I don't know if there's a way for both Victor and Harris to play on a regular basis. Now, if Victor's the older guy, if he gets it, you know what? It's not the end of the world for Jalen Harris to not play very much in year two, because they're going to lose a bunch of – they're going to lose like five of those receivers after this season. So like Jalen Harris, if he doesn't play much this year, might be a starting receiver next year, which is fine. His career would still be on track. But I think Ben Victor needs to show something if he wants to get in that rotation. And then I think among the older guys, like they can't have assumptions. They've got to show something, because – it's going to be on these receivers, because they're not going to run the quarterback 20 times a game. And if Dwayne Haskins is going to make these throws, if they're not getting open, and that's the thing we've talked about for 2 years, guys not being open. Dwayne Haskins can't always throw you open. You've got to get open. So it's time. It's a little bit nut-cutting time on who is going to be.
Yeah.
I think all of them can do it, but I do think there's going to be some hard decisions for Urban Meyer and Zach Smith to make.
Yeah, I agree with all the – the only point I wanted to make was Ben Victor played well. And Tim, what were Ben Victor's stats?
I had him at 5 catches, 91 yards on a touchdown.
So he had a good game, and I think everyone came in like very geared up to be like – to ask Urban Meyer, like, oh, man. But aside from quarterbacks, like, Ben Victor, he's finally got it, right? And everyone's like, no, not really. Like, he said Ben Victor still has a long way to go, which I think is just something important to keep in mind as we think about whether or not Jalen Harris can crack the rotation.
All right. Any other questions we need to get to, or can we go home and eat wings?
People are juiced up about Master Teague.
We should talk about Master Teague a little bit.
Yeah.
What's a question about Master Teague?
Scott Duda compared him to Robert Smith, so there's that. I'm all about spring game hyperbole. I compared Tate Martell to Braxton Miller in a story I wrote today. But that seemed like a little much to me.
I compared Joe Burrow to Tom Brady and to the Pope.
I've got one from Bill Ward at Mark the Narc 4. I'm not going to answer the question the way he said it, but I'll kind of just talk about the depth of the group. He asks, does the strength of our running backs and H-backs, parentheses, they are studs, Weber looks strong, Teague has high potential, make the quarterback controversy question any different? The answer to that question is no. Running back is going to – what happens to running back is not going to have any impact on what happens to quarterback, but
– no, I think he meant, does having a strong running game in any way lessen Urban Meyer's reliance on having a running quarterback?
Okay, well then, sure, yeah, definitely.
Well, but they've had a good running game.
Yeah, but I just think that's I think that's how he meant it.
Yeah,
yeah, but I agree. I think the answer is still no. But
I mean, we didn't get to see the top flight guys. J.K. Dobbins 1 carry minus 1 yard. Mike Weber 1 carry 63 yards. Read into that what you will. But Master Teague, the busiest guy, 14 carries 73 yards. I mentioned on Facebook Live, if it was not too hand touchy, probably could add 100 yards.
Nathan Freilich asked, any meaningful playing time for Master Teague this year?
No, I mean, again, like, I mean, behind Antonio Williams, who's going to get it, I mean, again, as we like to say, too many good players. And we mean that jokingly, but there's a little bit. No, like, you don't get to come in as a true freshman and play at running back unless there's injuries, unless there's a problem. So it's not going to happen. Now, it's great for Master Teague to look great, but he's just not going to really – I mean, he can look great so that in his third year here as a – he's going to – I think he's going to redshirt this year. Why would you not redshirt him?
Listen, but, special teams. He might play special teams.
But so that when he is a redshirt sophomore year three guy, he can be in contention to be taking over for J.K. Dobbins, who went to the NFL early after 3 years. Yeah. Like, that's just how it works here. Guys have good spring games. He looked like a physical runner a little bit, right? Like kind of broad shoulders a little bit.
He looked like – I guess it was nice to see, because if you watch his high school tape, he looks unbelievable. But you have to watch that tape knowing that the level of competition he played against was not always great. But I thought like what you saw on that tape was backed up a little bit by what he did in the spring game.
Yeah, reason to be encouraged. Just don't like expect it to turn into carries in 2018, right?
Yeah, I mean – I don't know the best comparison. He looked kind of like a bowling ball out there, but he has some ability. I think he got like showed off a little spin move in there at one point on one of the plays.
He's tall too. He runs high.
Like, yeah,
which is not something you've seen from Ohio State running backs over the last few years.
Yeah, I am not great on Ohio State history. I didn't know if I got like a Keith Byers thing a little bit. I don't know. It's like we're for throwing out like random like all-time greats of Ohio State that a true freshman looked like in the spring game. We may as well pull out all the stops. Little Chick Harley-esque, I gotta say. All right, anything else? Or are we good?
I'm good.
I think we are good.
That's it. Stay with us. Can I get it real for a second?
Yeah.
I like just had trouble writing a little bit this spring. I had a lot of nights where it's like, I'm going to write this for tomorrow. Didn't write it. I have a lot backed up. I got a lot in my holster. My holster is overflowing. And so I have stuff to drop on you people, like, for the next couple weeks. And I think we're going to try this. I think we might start it on Monday. In this podcast, we like to just fire off opinions. And I want to bring, we want to bring that a little more in our writing. So we're going to try every day. I think it'll be every day during the season if this works. But at least for now, we'll try it for a couple weeks. I mean, we're not going to do it in July. Come on. People need vacation. But we're going to call them Buckeye Takes. It's like Buckeye Talk, but it's written. 300 or 400 words, like a quick hit on something. Like, just a thought. Like, one thought, maybe with a quote or two in there from something. Maybe, but mostly, like, us just, like, getting our expertise out onto the written page in a place other than just talking about it on this podcast. So mostly it's not for you because you've already heard it. So if you're hearing this, you're not necessarily the target audience, because the target audience is the people who don't listen to the podcast, who we want to get, who we want to spout our expertise on in the same way. So if you can hear this, I'm not talking to you. Does that make sense? It's not aimed at you, because you get this. You get the Buckeye Talk. But if you want to read the take, read the take. But really, the talk takes care of the talk. The takes are for the people who don't get the talk. They get the take.
Try saying that 5 times fast.
I feel like DeLillo asked a bunch of questions, but like we didn't get to them.
He asked us who were the stars of the spring game. DeLillo, we have a video of our answers to that question on Cleveland.com.
Where we braved the rain to give you our answers, because that's how dedicated we are.
All right, that was an interesting spring. I think it was an interesting spring. I wish we could have watched a little bit more of it. The expectation is we get Urban Meyer Monday, we hope, to wrap this up. The expectation is we get assistant coaches Tuesday, we hope, to wrap this up. A lot more stuff coming the rest of the spring, into the summer. We love you guys. Thank you for listening to Buckeye Talk. The meetup did not happen because the game got moved up and it was too early and rain was threatened. We're going to do something. Eventually, we will do something. We have some ideas of some gatherings, of some things where we can hang out with you guys. So we'll figure that out for the fall. For now, he's Tim Bielek. He's Bill Landis. I'm Doug Lamarese. And from the shadowy depths of Ohio Stadium, that was Buckeye Talk.